Our next NHL on ESPN matchup has Nathan MacKinnon and the Red Hot Avs in L.A. Taking on the Kings Thursday's 9:30 Eastern. Our featured ESPN Plus matchup of the night will see Alex Ovechkin and the Cubs taking on the Bruins. Taking on the Bruins. Our coverage of that one starts at 7 Eastern. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Kmart, you tell me who did it best here. So we got Klay Thompson. He's so happy to be back and playing again. That before the game last night, he was doing like a little happy dance. He was feeling good. A little warm-up dance there, looking good. So who did that better? Did you like his dance better or my pre-show routine, which I sometimes like to do as a warm-up?
Oh, because we got the arms and we got the... The top, the like northern hemisphere is doing something different than the southern hemisphere. So I like it.
We gotta call that dance.
I just don't know.
Can we call that dance the Civil War?
the Union and the Confederacy.
Like it was ugly.
Yeah, the North and the South not seeing eye to eye. I've never had it described that way, but it's actually a very apt description. We welcome you to get up as we come to you live as every day above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are having fun and we are looking forward to football. We are getting up with the best weekend of the year on the horizon. At stake for Aaron, absolutely everything. You will hear from him in just a moment. Plus, he's from Ohio, but is he the next Montana? Can Joe Cool make us all forget the Titans this weekend? We're talking about it. And then it's the old school confidence picks. 8 quarterbacks remain. Which one do you trust the most? We'll answer your questions as we get up with you in this hour, which starts right now with a matchup Saturday night at historic Lambeau Field. Packers, Niners, NFC divisional round. They've split 8 previous playoff meetings, but a lot of them were a long time ago. The last 3, the 49ers won. Rodgers 0-3 in his postseason career against San Francisco. Now, these teams played in week 3. That was Mason Crosby with a walk-off 51-yard field goal. That was the game that Rodgers spiked the ball and celebrated because San Francisco had scored a go-ahead touchdown with just 37 seconds left. Rodgers, meanwhile, comes into this playoffs off another spectacular season, led the league in QBR. You can't be better than he is. But as he was talking yesterday, he seemed to be thinking about his football mortality.
Football mortality is something that we all think about. And we all think about how many opportunities we're going to be afforded moving forward. And each one is special. Each season is different and unique in its own way. This is a special opportunity. We're not going to make it bigger than it is. But I understand that in our business, so much of it is focused on the wins and losses, especially in the playoffs, Super Bowl rings and all that stuff. I understand that's part of my legacy I'll be judged on when I'm done playing. And every year is important when it comes to furthering your legacy.
It's interesting. He says his football mortality is, quote, something we all think about. Now, people like me, we think about the football mortality of the Aaron Rodgers and the Tom Brady. But, Nico, you were making the point that he's right, that football players do think about their own mortality. And what thoughts go through your mind when you hear Rodgers say that?
Well, I think it's interesting that he talks about, legacy and just your football fate. When it comes to playing in the playoffs, I can think back to losing a Super Bowl. And the first thing that comes into your head is, oh, my gosh, I'm not guaranteed another opportunity to get to this position. And how hard did I work and how much time and effort did I put in to get to this point? So I think that that's really what he's kind of referring to is, every single year, you have to prepare yourself to play a long season. And when you get to the playoffs and you lose, well, you have a lot of off-season work and practice hours and just execution hours that you're trying to put together to just get back to that moment. And it's interesting that he says that, and then he talks about legacy. He understands that it's been a long time since he has been to a Super Bowl, and he has only won one Super Bowl, which, you know, you say only one. But when you think about the great all-time quarterbacks, the ones that have multiple championships, I think that there's more of a reference to legacy and how great they are with the amount of Super Bowl wins that they have, and he only has one.
Yeah, you see the names. You know them like the back of your hand. There's 4 guys who have more than 2, and it's Brady, Montana, Bradshaw, and Aikman. So that's the company that he's looking to get to. You got to take one more step before you can take 2. And so, Kmart, it's really interesting to me that he's talking that way because as we have followed this journey through, you know, he's given us all access to look at it. all of a sudden, the ending of it becomes real here. Like, all along, this was always something in the distance. Right. But now, he knows, and we all know, he's one loss away from whatever the future is going to be, arriving in a big hurry.
Yeah, these special moments, these special seasons, these special rosters, you lose in the playoffs, and it's over. Everything changes. The roster is different. The momentum that you have, it's very difficult to get back to this spot. And so, Aaron, it seems like everything is sort of set up for this magical run, even though Brady's in the picture too. It just seems like this would be the great ending, that great final chapter to this book that began in the offseason, where we talked about everything, the airing of grievances, how he's frustrated. But honestly, this is why I think the Packers drafting Jordan Love, probably the best thing that's happened to Aaron Rodgers, because he's been balling out since. So it just, everything just seems to work.
Is that
Aaron
causal to you? Do you believe those things happen? It's not coincidental that from the time they drafted Jordan Love, he has actually played better than at any other time in his career.
It has something to do with it. If I catch my husband checking out some other girl, you know I'm going to show up wearing a cute little dress and make sure he knows, like, hello, I'm still that girl. I think, but I do, it maybe not this cause and effect, but I think it has to affect him in some way, because he's a guy, think about who Aaron Rodgers is. He's just like Tom Brady. He's the guy who sat draft night wondering, why am I still sitting at this table? Why am I not the first quarterback off the board? Every step of his journey has been about the chips, like stacking those chips and trying to prove people wrong.
I'm fascinated. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's an interesting point, because we talk about these great, the psychology of these great players, and it always goes back to Jordan, how he created these things to motivate him.
Yeah.
And it may be fair to say that Aaron Rodgers had lost whatever that motivation was, and Jordan Love brought it back. But I do think that what he brought up about his legacy is an interesting point that most quarterbacks wouldn't share with us. But he's right in that two Super Bowls puts him in the neighborhood of quarterbacks that he is comparable with. And we understand, we talked about a bit in the last block, Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is going to be forgotten a lot sooner than Eli Manning will be. And maybe it's because of Eli Manning being related to Peyton or playing in New York, but I think it's because of those two Super Bowls. And the further we get away from those Super Bowls, the more difficult it's going to be for people to appreciate how great Aaron Rodgers really is and was at football.
His name wouldn't be a footnote on that graphic that we showed. It'd be up there. You know, that's the difference.
Roethlisberger's name was on that as well. Those are the three guys from that draft class. I agree with you. There are people who will tell you that Rivers was the most talented of the three. But he'll be the first forgotten. He's the one people say, is he going to make the Hall of Fame? Which I believe he will, and I believe that he deserves to. But no, I think your point is well taken. Rodgers is a step, maybe multiple steps above that. But this weekend is a big weekend for him. In the meantime, you got the Cowboys. They got no more weekends to look forward to this season, but the ripple effects of their stunning loss on Sunday are still being felt across the football world. Now, one sort of thing to close, an order of business to close from that game, was Dak Prescott going on social media and apologizing for his post-game comments about the officials, which I think was the 100% right thing for him to do. And what he said was, I deeply regret the comments that I made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday. I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss, and my words were uncalled for and unfair. He went on to say, I hold the NFL officials in the highest regard and have always respected their professionalism and the difficulty of their jobs. The safety of everyone who attends a game or participates on the field of a sporting event is a very serious matter. That was a mistake on my behalf, and I am sorry. That's what Dak Prescott had to say, and good for him. He is a classy young man, and that was the right thing. What he said was the wrong thing to say. He said, my bad, in the heat of the moment. So we just move on from that. Yes, it was the right thing to do, and I'm glad that he did it. That said, the coaching piece of this remains the most interesting part, with Dan Quinn being everybody, the apple of everybody's eye, and the Mike McCarthy thing still hovering. Kimberly, what are we hearing?
It sounds like Mike McCarthy will stay. The Cowboys don't want to make a change after two seasons, and you can't really blame them. The question now becomes the next year. You know, Mike McCarthy would, if he remains the coach, he'd come into the next season under a lot of pressure. If Dan Quinn no longer is his defensive coordinator, who do they hire? That would be the third defensive coordinator in as many seasons. And this is a team that the roster is great, but they have a lot of questions about how to keep this team together financially and the coaching staff as well.
Ninko, let me ask you, because I haven't had you this week since all this happened. If you were Jerry Jones, and wouldn't you love to be, if you owned the Dallas Cowboys, what would you do about the coaching?
Well, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you fine people. But anyway, I listen, a great friend, good friend of mine, Todd Cowan, huge Cowboys fan. I'm just going to read you his text. He probably won't care. So,
okay, AB. Okay, Antonio Brown.
He's not going to mind this. But I said, hey man, sorry about the loss. Full gamut of emotions. He said, yeah, 25 years plus now. Don't think things are going to change. Laugh out loud. So aww. I'll keep watching, buying in, and then getting disappointed. It's a aww. Vicious cycle. I'm so sorry for all the Cowboys
like
fans out there because it's a vicious cycle. This is a vicious cycle, and oh, I don't God. Think things are going to change unless they figure out how to be more consistent and they got to stop with the penalties. I mean, the last two seasons, the Cowboys have been the most penalized team in football. So that's a problem, and it starts with the coaching. They have to be better moving forward if they expect to go anywhere in the playoffs.
Hey, would your friend fire Mike McCarthy right now if he owned the, what's his name? Todd Collins, did you say?
Todd Cowan.
Todd Cowan.
He also followed it up with, I'm not a big Mike McCarthy fan, so whatever.
Oh, good to know.
Fair enough.
Okay, so, well, Jerry will take that under advisement. Jerry will write that down.
Now that he's weighed in, Dominic, let me turn to you, because I feel like you've turned.
Yeah.
You were here yesterday. You're on one side of this. Now you're back today.
Shocking,
you're on the other side.
Shocking,
Dominic,
no, I mean, depending on
I gotta carry. I got to carry a lot of weight, Greeny. I got to explain one side and then tell you the actual answer. So I do understand, and I did fully explain why someone would move on, but then it comes to the decision, and it reminds me a lot of the quarterback decisions that people want, is you want to get rid of the guy who's not good enough, but then who are you going to go to? That's the hard part. Yeah. And then putting Dan Quinn out there like he's the answer, like it suggests that Dan Quinn was a rousing success in Atlanta. He's the defensive coordinator right now because he wasn't necessarily. The Super Bowl they got to was because Kyle Shanahan had Matt Ryan playing like an MVP. Mm-hmm. And I understand the leap that the defense made was incredible, but they also got 11 interceptions from one person. That is not something that's replicable. So I don't know. All this change hasn't been good for them.
Kimberly, may I have your permission to treat Dominique like a hostile witness for just a moment?
Let me ask you
two questions. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? Here's the first one. How many job interviews does Dan Quinn have lined up right now?
4.
If Mike McCarthy got fired, how many would he get?
0.
So what does that tell us?
Then
why is Mike? Then why is it that everyone is dying to hire Dan Quinn and Mike McCarthy? This is the only job he could have.
That is suggesting that the hiring history of NFL teams and the interviewing history of NFL teams is flawless. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
Neither does coach. Neither does Mike McCarthy. Did you watch his team play this year?
That is fair to say, but it is clear to Mike McCarthy what he has to improve on. Saying that a bunch of NFL owners want to interview a guy does not mean that he's a reputable candidate. Also, last year, almost any NFL team who wanted to coach would have hired Urban Meyer. That was dead wrong. So, like, let's stop assuming that they know what they're doing just because they're rich.
That's fair enough, but you keep talking about the things he needs to know how to improve upon. Those have been described as coaching 101.
Right. Agreed, 100%. However, he is coaching in a unique situation. There is no other team in the league that has a Jerry Jones meddling in the circumstances. So, assuming that you need some sort of disciplinarian to get these turnovers out of the way and get this late game stuff figured out is assuming that Jerry Jones is going to let someone come in there and take over.
You're saying that Mike McCarthy's hands are tied behind his back and he can't do anything because of Jerry.
I'm saying that this is a unique job, and assuming that you can go get Brian Flores and he's going to fit in right there. That didn't work with Bill Parcells. That didn't work. I mean, they won Super Bowls with Jimmy Johnson, but it didn't work ultimately with Jimmy Johnson. Jerry Jones is there. Right. He ain't going nowhere. Right. So assuming that some really impressive coach who's going to fix all this wants to go there, if you have other options as a coach, are you going to work there with Jerry Jones where he is going to participate in the game planning, the roster development, and he's going to do an interview from outside your locker room after every
game?
Hell no. I don't want to sign up for that.
I don't know the answer to this, but I would bet you that if he offered Dan Quinn the job, he would take it.
Kimberly, I won, right?
He
tried to challenge me and got cooked.
This is Greeny's show.
You're a witness. I rest my case. As we continue in just a moment, back in early October, the Bills went to Kansas City and they rocked the Chiefs. We'll tell you why it will be different this Sunday in the rematch. That's on the way. Plus, Tom Brady has spoken like a guy who wants to play a long time. Is there anything that might change his mind? This answer might surprise you. It's on Get Up next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and we'll call this one Revenge Weekend. Three of the games this weekend are rematches of games we saw during the regular season. Dominique, will the Bucks get revenge for their Week 3 loss to the Rams?
I don't think they will. I think that the issues across the offensive line, they're going to be a problem for the Bucks, especially going up against people like Aaron Donald and Von Miller. And I think that their ability on the offensive side of the ball to have Cooper Kupp and OBJ on opposite sides is going to give that depleted Bucks secondary problems. So I got the Bucks losing their revenge attempt against the Rams.
All right, Kmart, how about you? Will the 49ers get revenge for a tough Week 3 loss to the Packers?
Ooh, Greeny, this was tough, but no. Aaron Rodgers is having a special season. I understand his history, 6-3 against him in the regular season, 0-3 in the playoffs. But this weekend will be different. Aaron is on a roll.
All right, and then let's get to Ninko. Both those games were Week 3. Ninko, Chiefs-Bills was Week 5. Will the Chiefs get revenge for that loss?
Yeah, I think they do, and this team from Week 5 till now is completely different. You look at their defense, they've stepped it up. Offensively, they've kind of figured it out. They are better than they were Week 5. And you just look at Kansas City, their ability to score. The Buffalo Bills haven't played a team that can score as quickly as Kansas City can. So I'm going with Kansas City at home, especially because Arrowhead will be rocking.
Yeah, perhaps. There was some interesting stuff on this. Now, our football power index, our analytics, slightly like the Bills. Vegas only likes KC by 2 points. And bear in mind, usually you get 3 points for being at home. And I actually have a good stat on this that we got for the radio show today. The Chiefs has 2-point favorites. Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City teams have never been less than a 2.5-point home favorite. So this is the slimmest spread they have had. Kmart, you covered that game in Week 5. How does what we saw that night sort of inform what we should expect this weekend?
What I loved about that night for the Bills was them beating Kansas City. I talked to Josh Allen after the game about you did it. You beat the Chiefs. Like, here at Arrowhead, this is a crazy place to play in for the opposition. He was like, okay. Like, that, the fact that the Bills were so nonchalant after that victory said to me, this is a team that's different. This is different than all the other Buffalo teams. And then they took a little dive during the season. Then you started to question, does this team have what it takes to win the division, make the playoffs, make a run? I think this is a moment. Can Josh Allen solidify himself as one of the top three quarterbacks in the league?
So after that game, Josh Allen lied to you. And they took a dive because that was an enormous game. I promise you, all offseason, while they're running wind sprints to get in condition, they're yelling to each other, this is for KC.
Yes,
that's
yes.
What they are getting geared up for. There are two teams that they really particularly cared about destroying, and one of them they destroyed last week, and the one that they're going up against this week, they plan on going in there fired up, and they care a ton about this team.
It's not a lie, though. It's not a lie. It's about beating them. This is the moment. This is the moment.
Okay.
This game, this weekend in the playoffs, beat them in the regular season. We need to do that. But it's about, can we get over the hump in the playoffs? They lost in the AFC title game to this team. Now they're facing the Chiefs around earlier.
It makes me think of something else, too. Mike Ditka used to always say, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And I think that the Bills, if they needed to prove to themselves they can beat these guys, they did it.
Yeah.
And I think that is significant going into this matchup. I think Kansas City beats a lot of teams before the game even starts.
Yeah.
I don't think they win this game before the kickoff.
That's fair. I mean, the aura of Kansas City has been wiped away a bit this season with a lot of tip ball interceptions and a lot of challenges that they had. They do seem beatable in a way that they didn't prior to last year's Super Bowl. But thinking that you can beat someone and actually beating them in this situation is really tough. And it's hard, I think, for all of us to shake what we know Patrick Mahomes is capable of. Mm-hmm. When we saw the Super Bowl against the 49ers, we saw them against the Texans in the playoffs, we saw them against the Titans in the playoffs, it felt like nothing was impossible. Mm-hmm. And this is a game where I think that they are probably outmatched, barely. I do think the Bills are more talented, mm-hmm. but the difference is our faith in Patrick Mahomes relative to mm-hmm. Josh Allen.
That's reasonable. But Nico, let me come to you on this. Let's just call Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes a wash. For the purposes of this conversation, they're both brilliant. The Bills had the number one defense in the NFL this year. I think for folks who don't watch Kansas City week in and week out, how much better is their defense? Their defense began the season as a liability. It got much better as it went. How good is that defense right now? Will they be much better against, they'll have to be much better than New England's defense was last week?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have improved throughout the season, and that's what you want to see. Early in the year, you know, there's that classic clip of Matthew putting his arms up in the air for the free touchdown, no cover, busted coverage. And mm-hmm. as a defender, I can tell you the worst thing that you can do is just let guys run down the field wide open, and you have to be on the same page defensively. You have to understand what you're doing in coverage. And I think that the Chiefs have come a long way as far as coming together as a unit and really supporting the offense. In the past, it was the Chiefs' offense yeah. scoring so many points that the defense mm-hmm. was kind of like, oh, okay, well, we'll let up a ton of yards and we'll let up a bunch of points. And then they realized, you know what? We are not going to have a successful year if we as a defense don't go out there and give the ball back to the offense, let them figure it out. And as the season has progressed, this defense has gotten better. They've gotten more confident. And the offense has actually become a better offense and a better team because of it. So I think the Chiefs, at this point right now, their defense is playing well. They got a lot of key pieces back that were injured. So this is going to be a great matchup. I can't wait to watch this game.
Real quick.
The thing about the Chiefs' defense is the same thing that we had last week. There is no answer to Josh Allen when he is fully Josh Allen-ing. And that is they have to hope that he doesn't do that, because Josh Allen tries to do Superman things.
Yeah.
He's capable of doing it more times than not, but sometimes those things backfire. And the Chiefs have to hope to confuse him and hope that he has more of those type of fumbles, crossbody throws, yeah. and those sorts of things.
Well, they've got a plan, but he tends to throw a wrench into the plan. Yeah. You know what they call that? The Allen wrench. All right, as we continue on, just a moment.
Excellent.
When the 2022 regular season kicks off, Tom Brady will be 45 years old. Why does he continue to put himself through everything it takes to be an NFL quarterback? We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, here we go. Nick, Kemba was ready for you. Which team leads the NFL in home playoff losses the last 20 years? Which team has lost the most home playoff games?
That's
care. The question. The answer is next
doesn't
on
matter. I just
ESPN.
Look good. Just here to be handsome.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and here's the sneaky Hembo trivia question for you, Dominique Foxworth. Which team mm-hmm. has lost the most home playoff games in the NFL the last 20 years?
I feel like I want to say the Patriots just because I know they're in the playoffs all the time, but that might be a little too sneaky for Hembo. I'm leaning towards the Kansas City Chiefs. No.
So close.
Oh.
They've lost five. The Packers have lost the most.
I thought it was too obvious.
The aura, you thought that was obvious?
Because we talked about how they lost those recent games. We've been talking about that all day.
Listen, the aura of Lambeau Field, no one wins. They didn't lose a playoff game there from 1931 until 2002. But since that time, they have lost more home playoff games than any team in the NFL. That is sneaky Hembo at his very best. Meanwhile, Neek, let's move on here. Let's do on the clock, and I'll give you 30 seconds to answer the question everyone is asking around the NFL. What should the Cowboys do about Mike McCarthy? 30 seconds on the clock. Go.
I think they should keep Mike McCarthy, honestly. I think it's the idea that Dan Quinn is the answer is confusing to me, given his track record. He's had one really good season. Obviously, Kellen Moore is not the answer, considering how this offense has tailed off. But I do think we underappreciate how unique a situation it is working for Jerry Jones, who is so outspoken and so involved. I think there is a clear mode that they need to focus on this offseason. It is late game time clock management, and it's also penalties. You give him his marching orders, you keep the continuity of a pretty good team, and you continue into the next season.
All right, this is a debate you and I will continue to have. In the meantime, Kmart, you are a reporter. What is the most underreported storyline this weekend? 30 seconds, go.
It is going to be the job that Mike Vrabel has done. What if I told you that when the season started, Halloween, you would lose the most dynamic running back in the league, and yet somehow you would still be the number one seed? Not only that, losing Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones have only played 120 snaps together. Mm-hmm. Think about that. All these moves, and Mike Vrabel has this team, this defense, everybody playing so good.
No, I agree with you. He's done a great coaching job, and part of that, the division doesn't hurt because you get four games against Houston and Jacksonville. Yeah. But I agree with you. He has done a great job.
I mean, it's not just the division. He knocked off the big dogs. Mm-hmm. They beat Buffalo. They beat Kansas City this year, so they've had an impressive year.
They've had a great year, and he's a great coach. I don't argue with that at all. Ninko, let's talk about your boy. Should Tom Brady be worried about the Rams? 30 seconds, go.
Yeah, I would be worried about the Rams.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, you know, the last time they played Tampa, they got after Tom Brady with three sacks. So, of course, you know, with a wounded offensive line, you're having a backup at tackle. You're going to have a wounded center who's trying to play hurt. So I really, 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 really would be nervous to think that Tom Brady isn't going to be affected by the pass rush. And we know that the Rams love to get after the quarterback because they have beasts on that defensive line.
You know, I find it fascinating that we just had a graphic up there that suggested that our analytics like the Buccaneers by a pretty significant gap there, 66% or whatever that number was, I saw it there a moment ago, is to me, it's a big number. They like them a lot better than I think a lot of us like them. But Ninko, and again, we joke around about this, but you played with Brady and I know you're close to him, and you see this is when they met last time, and the Rams got all kinds of pressure and all kinds of difficulty for Brady in a game that they won. And since that time, they've added Von Miller, and the Bucs are playing with a banged up offensive line, particularly Tristan Wirfs. So all sorts of reasons to be concerned about Tampa. And I'll just tell you exactly what happened. In our meeting this morning, one of our coordinating producers, John Fink, just threw out the question, is there any chance this winds up being Brady's last game? And Ninko, you had an interesting answer.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Tom decided to just kind of walk away and do, you know, whatever he wants to do. Because, listen, right now he's in bonus time. How many 44-year-old quarterbacks have we seen throw for the amount of yards and touchdowns? And he'll be 45 in August. So at this point right now, you know, what else does he have to prove to anybody? What else does he have to check off the list? I mean, he's got TB12 that he has grown to being, you know, in L.A. and New York and Boston. And he's got his own brand coming out in the Brady brand with his clothing line. And everything that he has done, he left the Patriots, went to another team, won a Super Bowl. And everything as far as football goes, you know, when you feel content with your career and everything that you've done, you can kind of say, all right, I'm going to walk off on my own two feet. So, you know, Tom playing until he's 50, if he really wants to, sure, okay. But if he doesn't, and if he decides, hey, I've had enough, I've done everything I need to do, what's my legacy? What is his legacy? The best quarterback to ever
after
play.
So this would, year, Ninko,
for sure. Wouldn't shock
after
me.
This year?
After this year, I feel like you're saying under your breath. Why do you say not after this year?
No, I just don't feel like. I think Tom, what were we saying in the meeting? He's a maniac.
Yeah,
Tom is a maniac. And that's why we love him. That's why he's here. That's why he's played so long. I don't think, especially the way this season has gone, if they were to lose and not win a Super Bowl, I can't see Brady ending it all.
The way the season ends doesn't matter. Tom Brady is Tom Brady. I don't know what Ninko is thinking of that's making him think that all of a sudden he's going to stop being this person. Like, he could have hung it up after three Super Bowls when they had that Super Bowl drought in the middle.
After
then
five.
He won three more. He could have hung it up then. He had nothing to prove after that. He obviously could have hung it up last year. He had nothing to prove after that. I don't think that you said he could hang it up and go and do whatever it is that he wants to do. What else does he want to do? This is who he is. This is what he wants to do.
Yeah, perhaps. I could make an argument if he wanted to. And I do not want anyone out there saying Rob Ninkovich says Tom Brady is going to retire.
No,
that's not what he's saying, and it's not what we're saying. But I could make an argument, if you look back at the way the last few of his seasons have ended, that this might be the most reasonable time. First, he loses a Super Bowl in which he threw for 500 yards. You're not retiring off that. You need to come back. Then he wins the Super Bowl the next year. You're not going to retire after that. You want to come back and defend it. Then it all ends in New England, and he wants to go prove someplace that it wasn't just Belichick, it wasn't just the system. Then he wins one in Tampa. You want to come back and defend it. This year, as Ninko said, okay, they had a really good year. He had a really good year. They lose.
That seems like such a, like,
years old.
I can end all of this discussion with the first sentence that you, or one word from the first sentence that you said.
Was
reasonable. Yeah. That man is not reasonable.
But he isn't going to play forever. So what is the reasonable time for him to hang him up? When he does start to show signs of his age?
When he stops enjoying it, and it gets really unfun when you're not good anymore. He had an MVP level season. Mm-hmm. He's not going to stop enjoying it at this point.
But do you think he wants us to see him that way? I mean,
I don't think he cares.
No.
I think he wants to, when you said to do whatever it is that he wants to do, I can't imagine that Tom Brady wakes up in the morning and wants to do anything more than what he's doing now. Once it starts hurting and he starts throwing more interceptions than touchdowns, then he's going to be like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Let me see about TB12 in or whatever.
His dad told me on the radio after they won it last year, he said he loves the process.
Yeah.
Like most people hate the grind.
Yes.
He loves the grind. Yes. He loves all of that stuff. Again, no one here is saying he's going to retire, but the idea that he could is not as far-fetched as the immediate reaction to it might be, despite what people here are saying. All right, let me bring Mel Kiper in, because today, to me, is a holiday. It's the first mock draft from Mel Kiper Jr. 1.0 is out and available. With the top overall pick, Mel has the Jaguars taking Michigan defensive lineman Aiden Hutchinson, who had 14 sacks last season. The first quarterback that he has coming off the board is Liberty's Malik Willis. He has him going to Washington at 11 overall. It'll be the first time we didn't have a QB go top 10 since 2013. He also does have Pittsburgh taking a replacement for Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Corral from Ole Miss. That would be the 20th pick. Overall, he has four quarterbacks going in round one. Let's take a look at who those are. We've got Willis, I mentioned Corral. He also has Pitt's Kenny Pickett going before the Steelers get to choose in this case. That would be 18 to the Saints. And then he has the Detroit Lions using the second of their two first-round picks to take Carolina's Sam Howell. So Mel is back with us here again. 1.0 is up and available right now. We talked earlier, Mel, and you do not have a quarterback in your top 10. But you and I both know that teams will talk themselves into this. They will fall in love with a player, and the quarterbacks always get overdrafted. Which of them is that guy that you think that teams in the NFL are going to fall in love with and will wind up going, maybe even sneaking into the top 10?
I could get down to Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis. One of those two, Greeny. Willis on talent, Pickett on the type of year he had. He had a better year than Malik Willis. He did a great job. Mark Whipple, former OC and the quarterback coach now at Nebraska, did a great job developing Kenny Pickett. Last year he had the ankle injury, which hampered him, came back. 24 years of age when this NFL season coming up will kick off, and he'll have 50 career starts under his belt at Pitt. He's a kid that I think will draw comparisons to Andy Dalton. For me, it's more Derek Carr, so he could be that guy, and certainly Malik Willis with that frame, that thick, strong, powerful frame, and that dual threat quarterback he is. If you watched him in 2020, he looked like a top 10 pick. This year, he fell back a bit. Okay, and don't worry about the Ole Miss game. They were outmanned, just like when Josh Allen was at Wyoming and they were outmanned by Iowa. You don't worry about when a team's outmanned how the quarterback played. Malik Willis on talent could still be somewhere in that top 10.
All right, and when I had McShay recently, when he did his first mock, he actually had Kenny Pickett staying home, if you will, and going directly from Pitt to the Steelers. But Mike Tomlin yesterday was talking about replacing Big Ben. They haven't had to worry about quarterback in a long time. Here's what he said.
All options are on the table, but those decisions are interrelated based on our global needs and the totality of those global needs. And we have to improve our football team. There's two major ways that you do it. You do it through free agency and you do it through the draft. And so we have to look at what's available to us in the draft.
Again, I repeat, you have Matt Corral right now from Ole Miss going number 20 to the Steelers. Is that your sense? Do you think that drafting a quarterback in round one is the likeliest way the Steelers go here?
A lot of options. As Mike Tomlin said, there's the grand slam, maybe going with a proven entity or going into the draft. And Matt Corral is a gutsy, tough, competitive football player. He doesn't have the impressive frame. That's the concern, but he can spin it and he can run. He's great mobility. Kenny Pickett, who you mentioned, Greeny, I have going to New Orleans at 18. Obviously, you would make sense for the Steelers for a variety of reasons. Coached by Mark Whipple. You think about Heinz Field. You think about the veteran, 24 when the season kicks off. Like I said, all those 50 starts and the type of year he had. If he is Derek Carr, you would be happy to get that kind of quarterback coming into the NFL. I don't necessarily think Pickett will be there. So if the Steelers want Pickett, they may have to move up 5, 6, 7, 8 spots to get him. I don't think sitting where they are, we'll see Kenny Pickett drop. Now, with the hand size, is Kenny Pickett's hand 8 3/4, 9 1/4? What's it going to be? Wears gloves on both hands, regardless of weather. By the time we scrutinize all these guys by late April, who knows? But right now, if you said to me, will Kenny Pickett be there for the Steelers? I would say no.
There's something about Mel Kiper talking about hand size that makes me feel like all is well with the world. It just makes me feel good to hear now we're going to start getting into that. Hey, quickly, the world is falling in love with Joe Burrow, and that's obviously not a surprise. He was a great collegian. He won the Heisman. He was the first pick in the draft. But as you see him now and the incredible moxie he has shown and turning this Bengals thing around from the worst team in the sport in 2 years to where they're a game away from the AFC Championship game, go back to the evaluation, Mel. How does it inform what we're seeing from Joe Cool now?
I'll tell you what, he's exceeded what I thought he would be. I thought he'd be really good. Remember, he had a 6th-round grade going into that year where he put it all together. Well, he put it all together because he had Ja'Marr Chase and Edwards-Helaire and all that talent on that LSU national championship team. People forget, he could beat you with his legs. He was an underrated running threat. He really extended plays. He was able to pick up, you know, 8-10 yards to keep drives alive. His competitiveness, but his instincts, the way he sees the field is extraordinary. He was a really good last year before the injury, before they even had Ja'Marr Chase. And now you bring in Chase, his old teammate, and he's going to throw it up because he knows he's got confidence. He's in sync with his former teammate. It's all worked out beautifully for him. Couldn't be happier. I'll tell you, a competitor like Joe Burrow, I think that drives him as it drives Josh Allen. It's great to see these guys that still play with a little bit of a chip play so well.
A really good young quarterbacks into this round of the playoffs. Mel, again, Mock Draft 1.0 is up and available for your enjoyment. We will see you later, Mel. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, if your cup of tea is tennis, we got that as well. Second round Australian Open coverage continues tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus, and continues on ESPN2 at 9 Eastern, highlighted by Nick Kyrgios on the court and Andy Murray looking to move on to the third round. Every point of every match can be seen live on ESPN Plus. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers has produced another MVP-level season. Is he clearly the best in football as we enter the divisional round of the playoffs? I'll answer that question next.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and we are going to do a green list here. I bring it over from the radio to Get Up, and what they are is my old school confidence rankings in the 8 quarterbacks playing this weekend. For those of you who listen to Mike and Mike, you know what this means. Here's what it isn't. This isn't who I think is the best quarterback. Here's what it is. The most confidence I have in the players this weekend. So let's start with the easy ones. Tom Brady is number one. When you're Tom Brady, here's what I don't think. I don't think his team is going to win this weekend.
Yeah.
But I would bet you my house that the reason they lose will not be because of him. And the other easy one for me is that number 8 is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh,
I'm sorry to say it, but you tell Jimmy me, do you or do you
Bowl,
not
man.
Have the least confidence in him to play big this weekend? For whatever reason, this thing will not go over there.
We'll remember
it. I am lighting it up and going.
There it is.
Jimmy Garoppolo. You know what I'm confident in? I'm confident he will throw one terrible head-scratching interception as this game goes on. Now we go from there. At number 7, despite the fact that I really do like him and his team, is Ryan Tannehill. You just have to put him there. A year ago, we tried tried to make an argument it was Tannehill, not Derrick Henry. This year we found out we were wrong. Next up, I will go with Matthew Stafford. He did finally get the monkey off his back, if you will, last week on Monday night, but they didn't really need him to do much. This is when the pressure really comes on a guy who doesn't have a lot of, well, practically any meaningful postseason experience. I put him there. Now is where it got really complicated.
Okay.
The world is in love with Joe Burrow, and I am too. And what? So it pains me to put him at number five. But the problem is the people ahead of him.
Yeah,
the problem is the names ahead of him. Let me just populate where I'm putting everyone else. This is a list on which Patrick Mahomes is number four. And the reason he is number four is because of my confidence in the defense. He's playing against a Buffalo defense that is the best in the sport and the best against the pass in a decade. So he goes there. That same defense philosophy is the reason Rodgers is three.
Whoa,
if you ask me who's the best quarterback in the NFL right now, I would say the answer is Aaron Rodgers. But if you ask me who I have confidence in, he's 0-3 against the 49ers in the playoffs, and that is a really good defense. And if you watch Josh Allen play last week, well, that went wrong. If you watch Josh Allen play last week, then I put him at number two, behind only Tom Brady. No one is hotter than he is coming in, and that Kansas City defense is going to have to prove to me they're ready to play a big game. He shredded New England and Bill Belichick. I like Allen this week. So that's my list. Read him and weep. Dominique,
I mean,
what do you
think? My only problem with your list is, like, you've changed philosophies throughout the course, because Tom Brady's going up against a really good defense, and that defense, without the offensive line support that he has, without the traditional weapons that he's become accustomed to, so, like, Tom Brady should be lower, or Josh Allen should also be lower.
I'm glad you said that. My response, I don't know. The someone take like this it. Away from me. I am dangerous with this thing. The reason Tom Brady is number one is because I have nothing but confidence that he will do everything he can possibly do for his team to win. Now, that may not be enough to win, but there is no way in the world, I would bet you anything you want, that there's no way we come in here on Monday and say, can you believe Tom Brady cost the Buccaneers a playoff
game? That's funny, because last year, had the defense not saved them on a couple of games, we definitely would have been like, can you believe Tom Brady threw those late-game interceptions? So, like, it's not completely out of the question that he does not get rescued this year by his defense.
What do you think, Kmart?
Yeah, the Tom Brady thing, I just don't love it. What I did find interesting was that Matt Stafford, a guy who was brought in to get his team to the Super Bowl, isn't even on the screen, like all the way at the bottom, off the screen, because that shows the Rams are.
Dominique is playing with the screen. Let the record show that was not approved in the
future
reading.
I'm
righting the wrongs.
Let me get Ninko in here. Ninko, what do you think?
The right list, right there. That's the correct list.
Okay, you're welcome.
That's the right list. I don't understand. I mean, Greeny, I love you. I just don't understand Allen above Manning. Manning. I'm having a brain fart.
Whoa, taking us back.
Like, I'm thinking about you have Aaron Rodgers as number two. That's what I think that it should be. I'm at Allen at four, so I'm okay with the Patrick Mahomes and the Aaron Rodgers at 2-3. Like, that's okay. They hover right there. But Josh Allen at two, I think that's nuts. And if it was Peyton Manning, he'd be right underneath Tom Brady. So we'll bring in the Mannings. We'll go all time.
If it was Peyton Manning, then we would have him in an entirely different place. Once again, this is about how confident I am in the players this weekend. Here's the God's honest truth. Rodgers has been the best quarterback in the NFL the last 2 years. The last 10 years, his playoff record is bad. We just talked about all the home playoff games they've lost over the last 20 years. Guess who their quarterback was for most of those home playoff losses? Now, I think they win this weekend because I think the schedule is so overwhelmingly in their favor, and I think that the injuries on that San Francisco defense. Do we really see Nick Bosa? Do we really see Fred Warner? They're playing on 5 days rest, and the Packers are playing on whatever it is, 14 days rest. They have an enormous advantage. But I think that San Francisco's defense is the last one that Rodgers would want to see.
I hope that Aaron mentions you on the Pat McAfee show.
Rodgers is the best quarterback. Yeah. But do you have more confidence in him playing a big game this weekend than you do in the other names that I put out?
Yeah, I have more confidence in him playing a big game this weekend than I do in Tom Brady, despite the fact that Brady is my MVP. Yeah. It's because of the rest component combined with the fact that they don't have the same injuries. They are expected to get great players back. Mm-hmm. They're not losing great players in the way that Tom Brady's team is. So, yeah, I do have more confidence in Rodgers this weekend. And Mahomes, I think it's the Mahomes effect that I remain high on Mahomes because of the things that he's accomplished early in his career.
Even though Josh Allen is a better quarterback than
Patrick
Mahomes, as you said earlier.
This could be the postseason that we remember as the beginning of the Josh Allen era in the National Football League. I don't think that is beyond the realm of possibility. I'll be honest with you. The hardest thing I had to do in this was figure out where to put Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Because I have nothing but confidence that he is going to play ridiculously well and that if they lose, it will not be because of him. But look at the murderer's row of quarterbacks that we have in these playoffs. That's part of the storyline here and part of the reason I think we should be so enthusiastic about this weekend, because you've got, for the most part, the best quarterbacks in the NFL all this
week. The offensive line is the concern with Burrow playing well, is how much pressure he's going to be under. Sometimes he makes sometimes he makes magic under that pressure, and sometimes it does not work out. But one thing, this may be the beginning of the Josh Allen era, but one thing I think we can say for sure is that we have found our Brady versus Manning going forward, and it feels like it's Mahomes versus Allen, and this is the second matchup. So we should certainly agree, we should certainly enjoy it. It won't be the last time we see.
No, I'm with you. I think Mahomes versus Allen is good, and Rodgers Brady, if we get that next weekend again for the second consecutive year in the NFC Championship game, who wouldn't sign up for that? All right, as we continue here, I want to remind you, we got basketball tonight. We have our NBA Wednesday night doubleheader. We got LaMelo and the Hornets squaring off against Jason Tatum and the Celtics. That's at 7:30 Eastern. Then we got the Clippers beginning an 8-game road trip against Jokic and the Nuggets. Our NBA doubleheader available on ESPN and the App One. App One Tap. We'll start our coverage tonight, 7 Eastern, with NBA Countdown here on ESPN. Meanwhile, top of the hour coming up. Dak Prescott is paid to be the star for the Cowboys, who leads them to another title. But another Dallas legend is disappointed in what he sees. Jimmy Johnson's tweet that is raising eyebrows. Stephen A., Marcus, and Molly, top of the hour on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our next NHL on ESPN matchup has Nathan MacKinnon and the red-hot Avs in L.A. to take on the Kings Thursday, 9:30 Eastern. And our featured ESPN Plus matchup of the night has Ovechkin and the Caps taking on the Bruins. Coverage of that one starts at 7 Eastern. In the meantime, we always wish Kimberly well on her travels this weekend. You're going to Tampa. Should be beautiful, right? Hot
Greeny,
and sunny?
Greeny, finally escape the Midwest. Ohio, Kansas City, finally get to Tampa. Gonna be 60 degrees.
What?
I mean, how am I gonna tan myself?
No sympathy. No sympathy.
How?
You could be in Green Bay this week.
Yeah.
You could be in Kansas City.
I was just in Kansas City.
You're not just taking selling that.